Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost. It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit the upsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Alpha number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning, and we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I am just doing fabulous. What's the text line wanting to talk about today?
The text line's talking about a lot of different things today.
Well, there's two takes here I didn't hear, so actually let's get right to those. One is LD from McMinnville calls you Jared Toxic Positivity Stillman. I'd love to hear this one.
Okay.
The Titans have a toxic positivity problem. Also, I mean, this T. Higgins trade, what are you doing? How desperate are you for segments, Jared? T. Higgins trade.
How would that be desperate? I mean, to me, desperate was when these Titan fans in the middle of November wanted to sit there and talk about signing T. Higgins in the offseason when it was obvious he was going to get franchise tagged. Now, T. Higgins and the Bengals are at this stalemate, and it's like, I think the Bengals would sell, like the Chiefs did with Legarius Sneed, I think the Bengals would sell T. Higgins at, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. And so the question is, do you want to get in on that? Because while there's a nice receiving core for the Titans, I wouldn't say it's a great one. I'd say it's a nice one. A nice receiving core for the Titans. They don't have the kind of that young, in-his-prime guy to go with the young quarterback, and Higgins would solve that.
I mean, come on. This is a terrible take.
How so?
But
we spent a whole year talking about getting T. Higgins, and then all of a sudden,
right,
they signed Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, no, can't do that.
A whole year before they signed Calvin Ridley. They signed Calvin Ridley. So before they had Calvin Ridley, yes, people talked about T. Higgins. Now they've signed Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They signed Tyler Boyd, too. And I love your trade. The Bengals are going to take Burks. Oh, that'll do it. Well, that'll do it. All right, what about toxic positivity?
Well,
we don't even need to spend any more time. This is terrible.
Don't you think Spears would be like the perfect complement to Zach Moss with what the Bengals want to do?
He'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, if I'm the Titans,
can't wait for this trade.
I think it'll be
amazing.
All I'm saying is I think that is, if the Titans have the money, and I think they might because they're still middle-of-the-road payroll-wise, and I don't think the Bengals are going to be top four in the NFL in payroll, and when they gave Ja'Marr Chase that $35 million check, because, I mean, it might actually be closer to 40 because you get the signing bonus up front. You get paid a lot in year one. I mean, when they do that, they'll have the third or fourth highest payroll in the NFL, and I just can't see the Bengals wanting to do that. I mean, let me ask you this. If the Bengals were to sign Ja'Marr Chase tomorrow and they were to rescind the tag on T. Higgins so they didn't have to pay him, would you be interested in signing him as a free agent right now?
Sure, that kicked tires.
I mean, I guess.
So why wouldn't you pick up the phone right now?
And
offer a below market trade. I think Burks
I'm not
and
really
Spears
high on...
is below market for Higgins.
Yeah, look, T. Higgins is good. There's no doubt. He's very good. He's, you know, he's 4 years younger than Calvin Ridley, or three. I guess he's about to be 26, right? But you probably have a higher opinion of T. Higgins than I do. I think he's very good. You've committed to paying a veteran receiver. The next receiver acquisition for the Titans is going to be a high-drafted receiver next year, and that's what it needs to be.
I don't – why? I mean, because the way I view it is you've got a quarterback you're paying $9 million to over 4 years. That should entitle you to be able to pay more guys.
He's talking me into it.
I'm on
T. Higgins' train.
There's a lot of other positions that need to be addressed if you haven't
noticed.
Okay,
but the Philadelphia Eagles are and the Cleveland Browns are paying their quarterbacks in the $40 and $50 million range, and they're still paying multiple receivers big bucks. You're paying one receiver big bucks. You're paying DeAndre, you know, number three money, and you're paying Tyler Boyd like number five money. So to sit there and say that you can't pay two guys number one money, I mean, look at what the Dolphins are doing.
I don't think he's worth it. I don't think T. Higgins is that guy.
T. Higgins would be the best receiver on the Titans.
Maybe. It'd be close.
We're both taking Ridley. I do not think that T. Higgins is in the Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek. I don't think he's in that class. But I wouldn't say that he's not in Jalen Waddle's class. They're different players. Like, their styles are different, but I would say that Higgins is probably in that Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, like that, you know. Is he a true number one, or is he just a really, 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 you know, good player with a real number one on the other side of him?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's close between him and Ridley. On the Hopkins front, it's been interesting because we brought this up yesterday.
Show's bullied DeAndre Hopkins into posting a picture on Instagram.
There's that. We talked about that earlier in the show. But, like, his point of view is one thing. What about from the Titans? Like, how do you, if you're the Titans, how do you weigh the risk reward of letting him play out the contract, and then if you're interested in bringing him back, trying to do it in free agency, or taking the gamble now and trying to extend him and maybe getting him a little cheaper than you would otherwise? Also, maybe the risk of him being 32 and the production falling off this year. How do you weigh that risk-reward if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans?
So I actually think it's pretty simple, right? You give him a little bit more money this year. You give him money next year, and you don't guarantee a lot of it. And so it's like you're hedging your bet. You're going to pay a little bit more. It's like insurance, right? Like, I'm paying so that if my car gets in an accident, I won't have to pay the full price for my car getting in an accident. And I kind of feel like if the Titans, like, the deal that I've proposed is a one-year extension with $16 million for next year, $4 million of it guaranteed, and a $5 million pay bump for this year. So that would take him up to, I think, $19 million for this season, which, given where the wide receiver market is, if Jalen Waddle's 28-25, I think that DeAndre's probably a $20 million receiver. And the Titans lucked out with the circumstances and what they got him for. And the leverage they have is, hey, like, we're going to give you more money this year, and we'll give you, you know, $16 million for your age 32 season, but we're only going to guarantee four of it, which would be hedging their bets. And you add the $5 million this year and the $4 million guaranteed next year, that's $9 million total. And I ask you this question. Is it worth $9 million to bet on DeAndre Hopkins that if it doesn't work, you're out $9 million, five this year, four next year, as opposed to being in the situation the Titans found themselves in when DeNico Autry went to Houston?
If that's the way it played out, I'd say yeah.
Because to me, I feel like they're in the same spot with DeAndre that they were with DeNico last year. You know, very productive players, kind of older players. They have to, at this point in their career, be managed. They're not as good as they were 3 years ago. But I think it's a big hole on this team that they don't have DeNico Autry, and it's even worse that he went to the Texans. And so with DeAndre, like, if we want Will Levis to build something, I think that we should strive for them to have continuity at the receiver position. And right now, the one guy that we know is his guy is Hopkins. We don't know how it's going to be with him and Ridley. I mean, it could be David Givens. I hope not. But, like, we've been down this road before. Whereas we do know that there is something between Hopkins and Levis, and I would place a $9 million bet to see that it continues into the next season.
And what about this toxic positivity? Are the Titans about to be destroyed by positivity? Is the positivity about to rip the Titans apart from the inside, Jared?
I'm really worried about the constant barrage of sunshine pumping. You know, I don't think that the Titans suck as bad as everybody outside of the St. Thomas Sports Park bubble thinks they are. You know, the entire country, what was it, John Glennon's tweet said that the Titans are going to be underdogs in 16 out of 17 games.
They are right now, yes.
It's unbelievable. And, I mean, like, everybody thinks they stink. I mean, the Vegas over-unders think they stink. Everybody's power rankings. The ESPN FPI came out. They're 28th or whatever in that. So everybody thinks that the Titans stink. Except for the Titans, who, I mean, I listen to everything. Every move they make is a good move. There's nothing that could go wrong this year. Everybody, you ask Brian Callahan, oh, everything's great. He's sitting there basically implying that he would draft Will Levis over Caleb Williams.
Well, all these other coaches are like, yeah, this guy kind of stinks, man. I really don't like his attitude. And he's not very talented.
Well, I mean, not to sit here and say that the coach last year was better, because I do think that this team needs a little bit more of a coddler. And I think they do need a quarterback guru as their coach. You know Vrabel wouldn't be pumping the sunshine in the way that they're pumping the sunshine in right now. And I think it starts at the top. Like, I think it starts at, you know, I think that the Titans only want to hear good things at the very top. And that's what leads Rand to want to sit down with bussing with the boys and tell them, oh, yeah, we knew that the Falcons were going to take Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick. And it's like, see, our guys are so smart. And it's like,
I think my favorite one about that is the coaching staff one, though, how they got all their first choices. That was
every number one pick. What about Bill Callahan? Well, not him. Oh, okay. So not every number one pick. And then Rand admitted to a tampering charge while explaining that, saying that he asked Brian Callahan if they were going to be able to get Bill Callahan, who was under contract with the Browns, which you're not technically supposed to do.
So if you had to assign a number to it right now, I'd put you on a 1 to 10 scale, your concern level with Tavondre Sweat. Where is it?
I mean, my concern level with Tavondre Sweat was like a 7 when they drafted him, because of the red flags and the weight and the maturity questions and everything else.
We do a 9 now?
I mean, I would say it's probably like an 8, because this is the Treylon Burks start, and Treylon Burks didn't have the red flags coming in that Tavondre Sweat had. But I did see somebody said that he might have been in court for those DWI charges the other day, so he may have had to go back to Texas for that. I saw that on Twitter somewhere, so maybe that has something to do with it. And again, that's not like a new thing. That's something that we already know about. But the thing that pisses me off is that, like, the Titans drafted Tavondre Sweat 38th, and everybody was like, yeah, they probably should have picked him later because of all these red flags and everything else. And the Titans like, no. There was this big run on defensive tackles. Well, first of all, yeah, you took the second guy in the run on defensive tackles, and third, I mean, the defensive tackles everybody else wanted were the ones that didn't have the red flags. You took the one with the red flags, and then whenever I bring up the fact that, hey, man, like, drafting guys with red flags, signing guys with red flags, that's what got John Robinson fired, because Julio Jones had red flags with that hamstring, and Caleb Farley had red flags with that back, and Jadeveon Clowney had red flags all over him, and that's the stuff that got him in trouble. People get mad at me like, oh, my God, how could you say Tavondre Sweat has red flags, when that's all anybody talks about, is that Tavondre Sweat has red flags. I saw Jordan
Who are
Davis.
These people? You always say this, like, hey, people get mad at me. How could you say he has red flags? There's not a rational person, Jared, who didn't realize that Tavondre Sweat had red flags. Where are these people?
You read the same text line I read.
I know.
And you know.
Show me the text.
Joe.
A lot of people listening to the program.
Joe.
A lot of different opinions.
Well, I mean, a lot of people listen to the program. I think we've learned, you know, that's what happens when we've got the number one sports shows in town, is that we speculate on DeAndre Hopkins' contract, and then DeAndre feels the need to post pictures of him working out with the team. It's like, no, guys. I promise that Jared Stillman and Robbie and Joe are just talking bull crap. We want to, you know.
When he's working out with his AirPods in, you know he's listening.
Hi, DeAndre.
He's listening to us. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know that he isn't.
Bad news travels fast.
All right, real quick, though. Now, let me. I just want to go back to something you just said. So you're saying that you think that this toxic positivity is dictated from Amy? Is that right? Amy's telling everybody to just say nice things? I just want to make sure we have this right.
I don't think it's dictated. I think it's more like everybody doesn't want to upset the owner, so everybody says everything's good all the time.
So Brian Callahan's out here getting asked questions. And, yes, I mean, you know, he gets asked about somebody. Yeah, they're doing great. Okay. I mean, the Will Levis answers he's giving are, as we've talked about, those go beyond just I'm coach speak positivity. You think that he's dancing around Amy like, I better say nice things about my team.
Yes.
Is that, yeah, okay. All right,
I think that's the culture of the building. I mean, have you ever listened to one of
toxic.
Those?
Have you toxic! Toxic!
Have you ever listened to one of those official Titans podcasts before?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's I listen to those. I'm like, they're going to go 17-0 this
year. Well, official team podcast, that's typically the tone, right?
Well, I don't think when I talk about the toxic positivity culture inside the building, I'm not talking about what's going on outside the building, which I got to tell you, I talked about this yesterday. I'm a little worried about bussing with the boys. I think bussing with the boys.
I saw you do this. Yes.
I think bussing with the boys is becoming a little too homerific I think they've got Titan a choice PR. To make.
They've always been known as such hardcore journalism, but
well,
yes.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, in my opinion, you've got two choices. And they're at the fork in the road because their careers are over, and now they're really, truly podcasters. So you can either tell it like it is, or you can be a house organ. And it's going to be more fun up front to be a house organ because everybody's going to like you, and everybody's going to want to dap you and all that kind of stuff. But the reason why Charles Barkley is as popular as he is. I don't know if you guys read the New York Times article where Kenny Smith got mad because Tanya Ganguly was on the elevator with them and Barkley was like telling her all the tea about TNT and everything else. And Kenny Smith was like, you shouldn't be doing this. And he was like, I'll talk to who I want to talk to. And so, and like Ernie yelled at her because she asked to talk to Ernie about, you know, the TNT stuff. And Ernie was like, you need to talk to a Turner representative. And Barkley was like, yeah, screw it. And, like, so you have a choice. You can either keep it real or you can be a house organ. And I think it's better to keep it real, like Charles Barkley. And I think the Bussin' with the Boys could be, you know, I'm not going to say Charles Barkley, but, like, I think that they could, you know, they could really do something if they want to keep it real. If they want to be a house organ, like, it's going to be, okay, you know, in one ear, out the other. And when you say things like, firing Mike Vrabel would be the biggest mistake they ever had to, I'll tell you, the Boys are going to win the AFC South this year, sleeper team. I'm like, oh, God.
Jared, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Sure hope and we'll be listening and Will at 2 listening. O'clock.
See you guys.
All righty. Jared Stillman with us, as he is every Friday morning at 7. We'll react to what Jared had to say there coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park, your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I'm going to be completely honest with you. With the caveat that I think the trade proposal that he's thrown out there to acquire said player is a little bit ridiculous, and it's going to take a lot more than that to actually land him. I don't know that I hate the T. Higgins idea.
Yeah.
Right.
In theory,
I mean, for this year, it's a crowded room, yes. But it does potentially solve you some issues moving forward in terms of your receiving depth and the like.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're looking long-term, like basically he replaces Hopkins.
Yeah.
I just T. Higgins is very good. Yeah, I just don't know if I'm.
But what's the number coming in at? Like, yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, is he making $21 million? Is he making $25 million? Is he making $27 million per year? Like, that's also a big part of this too. Like, Ridley's at, I believe, $23 million per year is the, again, if you care about annual average value, I believe 23 right. is where Ridley landed.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it should be in that range. It should not be well beyond that range.
I would agree.
I think T. Higgins probably would like it to be well beyond that range.
I agree.
No, I don't think it should be.
I'm
but,
with it.
But yeah, look, in theory, like the idea of a guy like that who's about to be 26, he's a very good player, and again, Hopkins is short term. I get it, but yeah, I still think it's. I mean, first of all, the Bengals are still in a window right now. So, I mean, the Bengals.
They're not trading T. Higgins for Traylon Burks and Tajay Spears.
Trying to win a Super Bowl this year with Joe Burrow right now. Then they think they can. So, yeah, they're not entertaining it. I understand. Oh, if it's not happy, they're not happy. You know, how about Traylon Burks? That's where it gets desperate need of a segment E for me. But, you know. But, yes, the idea of, like, would T. Higgins be a long-term – he'd be a positive addition for a lot of teams around this league.
Again, you would have to tell me – the trade part of it, I'm with you. Like, I don't see that happening heading into this year unless, like, the relationship gets to the point where Higgins is just so toxic around the building that he's like, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. I guess it could happen at that point. But for that part of it aside – I still think it would cost you more than Burks and Spears in order to do it. So, like, how high would you be willing to go? And then what is the number, right? Because there is a difference. Like, T. Higgins, if he's signing for similar money to Ridley, I'm probably cool with it. If T. Higgins wants significantly more than Ridley got, that's where we start to run into problems, I think. Because I do think there's some validity to, look, by the time you're, let's say Levis works out, by the time you end up paying him big money, I mean, you'll be 2 years deep into the Ridley deal. The cap is going to continue to go up. Yeah, you'll be paying both receivers a lot of money, but it's not going to be like totally detrimental to your team to do other things around him at that point.
Sure. Yeah, the NFL cap is malleable and is going up. So I get that. You know, another thing about that whole thing, though, when you talk about if it goes bad, you know, obviously he's mad at management. Seems like he gets along great with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, right? I mean, usually fights with management, unless management overreacts like they did here with A.J. Brown, it doesn't really trickle into the team. They're all on each other's side, you know?
Yeah.
They all want each other to get paid. So I don't think there's anything to it. But I appreciate Jared being creative to come up with a segment, and now it's given us stuff to talk about.
I'm just saying,
other than toxic positivity, which is apparently a big problem.
You would still have to map out to me the exact route for him to get here and what the cost ends up being. I'm just saying the idea of doing something like that, I don't hate it if I'm the Titans. And then you can, like, if you felt like you needed to continue to address wide receiver after that, but maybe that does, like, in that scenario, you get Higgins and Ridley, and then you feel like you're good at wide receiver and you address other needs in the draft. I don't know. I'm just saying I don't hate the idea of that on the surface.
I mean, look, the proven commodity thing, the Eagles are actually a good example of the proven commodity versus continuing to drafting high. Yep. And they finally were like, okay, you know what? Screw it. Here's a guy we know is good. Let's go get that guy.
Right.
So I get that.
They also did draft a young receiver who's turned out to be pretty good in Devontae Smith.
That's true, too.
So.
After failing
right.
a few times. By the way, on the toxic positivity front, you know, is Jared's positivity about our show is a little toxic at this point? He keeps talking about it. When does that become toxic positivity? Now we got him on the hey, cool. Jared, don't answer texts on the text line when our show's going on. You are not welcome here. You answer people during your show. Yes, apparently. Look at him talk about his show. Get out of here, man.
615-737-1025, our phone number. It is the beginning of the NCAA regionals today for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee. We'll get into that coming up next. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45.
Hell yes.
Two in a row. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David Janes here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. NCAA regional play underway today. Vanderbilt gets things rolling later this morning. I believe they begin at 11 o'clock. Coverage beginning at 10:45 here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. Going up in the Clemson regional, and then Tennessee obviously hosting the Knoxville Regional. By the way, Vanderbilt Baseball on 102.5 The Game brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Let's start on the Vanderbilt front. What do you make of the opportunity now in front of Tim Corbin and this team? It did feel like they found a little something in the SEC tournament. They started to hit the ball and obviously went on a nice little run there to secure their spot in the NCAA tournament, and now they're the 2 seed in the Clemson Regional. I said it earlier this week, I doubt very seriously Clemson is looking around and saying, yay, Vanderbilt as the 2 seed in the regional. And it's been a disappointing year for them in the regular season. But really, if you're Vanderbilt baseball, the only thing that really matters is this time of year. And if you're able to put something together this time of year, people tend to forget about the regular season. So what do you make of the opportunity in front of Vanderbilt? And what do you make of how equipped Vanderbilt is to make some noise here, given the format and given the way that they're playing right now?
Yeah, look, I think that they got a good chance to sort of make up for last year. You know, last year they failed at this point. It was a big disappointment, big upset, basically. And, you know, I think that they're set up pretty good with their pitching for this format, especially the way J.D. Thompson has been pitching. You know, I think that he gives them a third guy, and so for this format, like they're gonna be able to put someone out there who has a good chance of giving you 6-7 innings, keeping the score down, keeping the bullpen fresh, more than most teams in this tournament. So are the bats awakened? Certainly, you saw some signs of that in Hoover. I think that that's, you know, obviously a huge game today. You know, you get the 2-3, you go to Coast Carolina. I mean, it's huge to start out and be in the winner's bracket. But, yeah, especially if they can get that first one, get in the winner's bracket, then, yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to be right there. I think they should be battling Clemson to get to a super. And my question, really, with the bats kind of going. Now, they have a lot of guys, but the bullpen, like, they don't have a lot of great late-inning answers, you know, like clear answers. And I think that's either going to materialize or it's going to continue to be an issue for them. They, you know, they could have swept the Vols here, but for the lack of those clear shutdown late inning high leverage arms.
Can the bats keep going? I mean, that's going to be a big story here, because for most of the season they weren't, right? I mean, the bats have really just come alive here in the last week or so. So is that a guarantee that it's just automatically carry over to the regional setting? No. Now, no, it's not. I do think, like, the way that the regional and the super regional, if they get there, the way that it's structured, I think can help Vanderbilt when you have the starting pitching that they have and the ability to go deep into games. Like that, and that's really, when I look at Tennessee, Joe, that's the one question I've got about them, is does that burn them at any point? Because – if you go by the numbers, not only are they one of the best hitting teams in America, they're, I think, the best pitching team in America,
ERA
too.
ERA is
they're fantastic. Outstanding. So so they've got a lot of arms, but does the lack of true, quote-unquote, weekend starters, does that burn them at some point? Like, that's my one question, really, with Tennessee heading into all this. I feel great about the lineup. Feel great about, obviously, I mean, the number one overall seed. So you feel great about pretty much everything that they do. But the one question I have with Tennessee, like, that's where I think Vanderbilt is more equipped than Tennessee, is with their starting pitching. Tennessee just has more guys, more arms that can do it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, Tennessee, in various situations, feel a lot better. They have got a lot of guys who have come in and gotten big outs. So they've been able to cobble things together pretty well. You know, Chris Stamos, not Stamos, not related to John Stamos.
That we know of.
It's confirmed.
Okay. Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line, you refuse to believe it. So, yeah, we can further investigate that.
Yep.
But, you know, he's been one of those openers, come in and you get some. I know in Hoover, actually the day after they lost to Vanderbilt, I think he went like 3 1/3. That's a, you know, but a lot of times it's like a couple innings and they go, they're like Causey, they go to different guys. One thing that's, and it's worked out fine. So we'll see. I think if you get into the loser's bracket with what their situation is, that's where you could really start to worry. But Drew Beam, obviously, you got to count on him. And then again, you have a lot of good arms. AJ Russell. I mean, Tony Vitello was basically non-committal this week about him participating. It doesn't sound great. He left the game in Hoover. I forget which game at this point. They were looking at, like, his arm and stuff, and it doesn't sound great, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because that's a guy who I think is a special talent, and I thought kind of was one of those kind of keys in the month of June for them to bring in another big time arm that you can come in and get an inning or two, or get even just get a big out, would be big. I'm not counting it out, but it just doesn't sound great from Vitello this week.
Now, the one thing I'll say on the Tennessee starting pitcher front that I think you also have to factor into this conversation is, this is what makes, number one, they can hit the ball anywhere, but number two, this is, I think, what makes them hosting the regional and then potentially the super regional, if they get there, really important. We know about that ballpark. We know that ball can leave that ballpark in a hurry. and Tennessee is more equipped than anybody to make that ballpark, that ball leave the ballpark in a hurry. So, yes, maybe there's some concern about the starting pitching, and does that burn you at some point if you're Tennessee? I think you also would figure that if you're a team playing Tennessee, regardless of who it is, you're going to have to score some runs because Tennessee has proven that they're going to. They're going to score some runs, especially in that part.
Right. Very comfortable there. And they're, like you said, they're built for it. You know, a couple years ago, it was Notre Dame hit a mid-range fly ball to right center. It goes out.
It did.
That wins the game for them. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the hitters on the other teams are like, oh, I can play in this place.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, it's definitely when you're built for something like that, and obviously their pitchers are used to pitching in a place like that, should be an advantage.
I am interested to see. I mean, it's been a wonderful college baseball season, and specifically last week with two matchups in the SEC tournament, wonderful back and forth between Vanderbilt baseball Twitter and Tennessee Vol Twitter. And I'm interested to see how that continues this weekend. If both advance, if one advances and one doesn't, I'm looking forward to it.
So I still haven't – I can't find a freaking bracket, which is really frustrating. Like, why is it hard to find a bracket that's actually like the bracket, like a printable bracket? Because there is a bracket.
Email you one.
Yeah.
Greg, we've been talking a lot about you. I need you to find a way to get me a bracket for baseball.
That's it. That's maybe I just will. Like, if anybody knows the site, because I still haven't figured out, when might they meet?
It's not on, like, NCAA.com or whatever that site is.
I swear, I went there, and it's like, bracket announced. Here he goes, NCAA.com. If you go this for basketball, you get the bracket. But at this, it just lists the regions. There is a bracket. If somebody knows a website, go to the bracket.
I found the bracket.
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes.
I'll send it to you.
You can use the internet. I can't. What site? For others who may like to.
NCAA.com.
What? God dang it. Well, anyway.
This is the most boomer thing you've done in a while.
This is super boomer. Oh, wait. Okay, now I see the thing that says bracket.
Oh, God.
I see the tab.
In bold letters. Bracket.
Oh, wait. Is this it? Okay. All right, so when could Vanderbilt and Tennessee meet? That is my question because, to your
Omaha.
Point. Yeah, but I think it's actually – it is on – okay. I think it's on the other side. It is.
Mm.
So it would be in the final series.
Yeah, buddy. Bring me some of that.
Tennessee, I am all in on that.
I have hoped for that for a long time, ever since Tennessee got good at baseball. Hey, look. You get into late June, July, need some stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
Give me some Tennessee Vanderbilt in the National Championship Series.
That would take
the Vol Twitter, Vandy baseball Twitter back and forth to a different level.
Oh, man, that would be amazing. And, you know, I mean, certainly, I honestly expect them both to be in Supers. I do. And maybe I'm being a little bit homerish on Vandy. And, of course, if that's the case, they would go to Oklahoma State probably.
Yep.
But it's not the craziest idea in the world.
What you just did with the website and the bracket reminds me of, like, when my grandparents – try to get me to take like the HDMI
and move
it over to the cable again. It's like, how do you do this?
Exactly.
How do you hit the input button?
That's
what you just did.
You should see me with our TV at home. It's an all-new adventure.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. We will do that next. Sign up to play today in the 615 Open at the beautiful Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, June the 20th. You can compete in amazing prizes we got that are going to be available, including $10,000 cash for a hole-in-one or a $20,000 kitchen or bath makeover from Eurostone, plus the chance to win exclusive experiences only a radio station can provide. Don't miss out on this incredible event. For more details and to sign up, visit 615open.com. Looking forward to that. And speaking of golf, got some things to talk about with that. Had a nice experience there yesterday in the Rob Rant. 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
You guys have officially made me lose my marbles. This is a nightmare. When will you learn? When will you learn that your actions have consequences?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning, the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Either one.
What was that? What was that?
I've seen that clip before. I don't know specifically what.
I don't know it specifically either. It's just what's going crazy. Nick's thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Keezer's never-ending file.
If anybody out there knows what that's from, please let me know. It freaked me out a little bit.
Joe's a little scared, a little nervous. All right, there's something I need to litigate here on the program, okay? I need everybody's thoughts on this. And this is, yes, it's a golf thing, but it's kind of a life thing too. Like, when you have the option to not hold people up, do you have a responsibility to take that option is basically the general question that we're trying to get to the bottom of here. So I went out to the golf course yesterday. This is the first time in 2024 I've been able to play golf. I know, first world problems. People really feeling bad for me right now. First time in 2024. And I get out there. It's a nice day. I mean, if you try to golf around here, you'll know. It's kind of hard to get out there because there are so many people that are moving here and there are so many people that want to go play golf that there's a lot of people, especially when the weather's nice. So I knew it was going to take a while yesterday. What I did not anticipate is that people in front of me would be voluntarily walking the golf course when there is an option for golf carts that are available. And it's, look, to me, golf is not a place for exercise, okay? If you want to go exercise, you like being outside, all that's great. Go find a walk, go find a park, go find a trail, go to the gym. There are places to walk, particularly if you're not very good. That's the other thing. Like, if you're not very good, and you're walking 18 holes, it took forever yesterday. Now, I finally got around these people, I think, by hole 7.
Okay.
But those first 6, let me tell you, I've never done as much standing around and waiting at a golf course in my entire life as I did yesterday. So my question is very simple. I think walking the golf course, especially when you're not very good, is a borderline criminal offense for 18 holes. And I was very upset by it yesterday. Am I crazy? Am I being too harsh? Or do you have a responsibility when there's a golf cart available to you? And again, this is not the PGA Tour. We're not playing at Augusta National here. To hop in the golf cart, save everybody else some time, and make sure that you're not holding up the entire course because you want to walk and get some exercise while you're playing golf and shooting 120 while you're doing it.
It's a really good question. So I do have some insight as a former cart boy. I used to be a golf cart guy at a golf course. So I was always, please get carts because then I'll come to your car and like wipe the clubs down and, you know, get a $3 tip.
Yeah.
So I was, but there were some people who walked this course. Some of them, older, but like it is like their exercise. Like to them, it was good for them. Now they didn't stink. I think that's part of the thing.
That's an important qualifier here because these people, so not very good.
Yeah. So if you're especially bad, then I think you do have to take into consideration what that means. Cause it's still a pain in the butt for people to, okay, can we play through? Right.
I'm talking the average score for these people. I mean, you're talking the first 6 holes. I think there were 2 par 3s, 3 par 4s, and 1 par 5. The average score was probably about a 8.
Yeah.
For all of them on the hole.
So, like,
regardless of par 3, par 4, par 5.
In general terms, I think that people should be allowed to choose, but I get the frustration too. I understand your frustration. I do. You're behind that and you're like, "Man, you're slowing it even further." By not doing this.
And some of this is probably on me because I probably should have just driven up to them at some point and been like, "Hey guys, just let me play through." But I don't like doing that. I like being like if somebody offers me to play through, I will say thank you. I appreciate it. I don't like being the guy that's like, "Hey guys, get out of the way and let me play through." So I didn't. I stood there, was patient.
And you're like, "I'll just sit here and stew and rant about you tomorrow."
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's, and again, you know, I tweeted about it and I had some people, I guess on golf Twitter, they were like getting back at me like, "Oh, I'm sure that the guys walking the course in 3.5 hours are holding you up more than the people drinking beer and not being able to hit a shot." I'm like, "Well, the problem is these guys are drinking beer. They can't hit a shot and they're walking." So imagine how slow that's going out there. It's not going very well.
A lot, as you might imagine, there's a lot of response. One is, "Yeah, I'll give the cart if you pay for it for me."
Okay.
Which is like, okay, I hear you. But then like if that's that tough, then don't golf. That's why, like, that's part of why I don't golf. I play pickup basketball because it's free.
Yeah.
But Ethan from Lawrenceburg, you should only be allowed to walk if you're under a 10 handicap. So, I mean, that's kind of the same thing I'm saying. Like, if you're really bad.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, then you need to be self-aware.
But even that, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, if you, again, this is not the PGA Tour. So, like, I have no doubt about it. I've seen it. There are guys that can, and ladies, that can walk the course that are reasonably good, and it doesn't take that long. But, like, imagine how much quicker it would be even then if you hopped in a golf cart, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I – when the option is available to you, like, there's not a golf course around here that's an 18-hole golf course, to my knowledge, that does not have a cart available to you. So when the option is available to you, I don't understand why you don't take it.
Yeah. But
and walking, the money part of it, like, it is –
walking a course is there's something to it.
I don't –
but, again, go to the park. Go to the gym.
There are trails for a reason.
Yeah. I hear you. Now, look, I have to have a cart because if somehow someone has conned me into getting on a golf course to play golf, which is very rare, I have to have a holder for my beer, right? I mean, like that's – so, like, the cart is necessary, you know? But I have walked, like, a par three, for example.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, a little different.
And that's – and again, if you're good, I mean – obviously, that's totally different. But if you're good, and you're on a par three. That's
well, and part of me also is like, where's the ranger? Because, you know, I told you hit one shot in the water, and it's like, well, gotta hit another one. Hit another shot, it's off to the left. Well, let me see if I can get this one a little straight. It's like hit one shot and go. If you're gonna walk, you don't get 15 mulligans up there. Hit the ball.
That's a golf etiquette.
Yeah,
it all kind of goes together. So I think walking on its own can be okay.
All right.
That'd be my answer.
I disagree.
But I get your
– I think no one should ever walk a golf course ever, including the PGA Tour. Let's get this thing going.
Take your butt to the gym.
Get to the gym. If you want to exercise, look, this is a sport, and no offense to the guy I'm about to throw under the bus, but this is a sport where John Daly is really good. I mean, we're not about exercise.
Fair enough.
Right?
That is true.
I mean, we're ripping heaters, throwing back 25 Diet Cokes per day. Pretty good golf.
Peanut M&Ms.
That's part of what makes golf great is – anybody can play it. Just get in a golf cart. That's all I'm asking.
That's fair. All right, I hear you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.